I think she's starting to form here at individual stations and universities, and I think it's really the first step, and a step that can.
Hi, it's Holly Tanner.
And Justin Weaver.
We're from Something to Talk About, and you're listening to 90.7 FM.
WGXC, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
This is Rob Sacker, host of Overlooked, WGXC's excursion into underheard and overlooked music. Overlooked is now on fourth Tuesday of each month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Each show is themed, connecting disparate types of music in new and uncharted ways. That's Overlooked, 12 to 2 on Tuesdays.
WGXC Underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Gassman of Arlington, Virginia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Abby Hoover is reporting for Columbia Green Media. The Greenport Town Board heard from Town Assessor Kim Smith February 5th about the ongoing townwide reassessment project. The re-evaluation began May 29, 2019, and will continue through May 30, 2020. During the process, the assessor's office will review each property and assign updated values. Notices will be sent out to property owners in late February so they can review the assessment before the tentative roll is filed. The last assessment was done in 2015, but Smith said it was not as in-depth as the one currently underway. Smith said, and I quote, "There are going to be some shifts this time," end quote. She said her office is working in cooperation with the Columbia County Real Property Decorator, Suzette Boy, on the project. As a result, the town has saved thousands of dollars, Smith said. Boy said it is not a perfect system, and the county has learned a lot in the process of following real property tax law. The goal is to be able to evaluate everyone in the same manner. Town of Greenport Grievance Day is held on the Thursday following the last Tuesday in May. Read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. The Ravenna Times-Herald is reporting six Ravia Coyman Selkirk students were named area champions January 25th after competing against 10 Capital Region teams. The first LEGO robotic tournament was held at SUNY Poly Colleges of Nanoscale Science and Engineering in Albany. In addition to being the overall champions, the team took first place in robot performance. Coyman's Town Councilman Brandon LaFerve attended the tournament to support the team. LaFerve, in a social media post, and I quote, "I was very impressed with their creativity, teamwork, public speaking skills, and the gracious professionalism they exhibited," end quote. In the first robotics competition for students in grades 4 through 8, the teams build, program, and compete with Lego-based robots and research a real-world engineering challenge. The Robina Coyman Selkirk team consisted of Parker Dio, Louisa Englehart, Ryan Keeper, Olivia Ortiz, John Robinson, and Samuel Robinson. And you can read the full story in the Robina Times-Herald. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union. Human services organizations statewide urged state lawmakers this week to increase funding for their organizations, saying rising costs and a decade of decreased support has left their sector at a, and I quote, breaking point, end quote. More than 40 nonprofits that provide services to children and adults facing mental illness, addiction, developmental disabilities, and other challenges have asked Governor Andrew Cuomo and state legislature to commit to a 3% annual funding increase over the next 5 years. They argue the request is consistent with the 3% growth rate Cuomo says is reasonable for Medicaid and education. According to the governor's most recent executive budget, mental hygiene agencies provide support to more than 1 million New Yorkers, including more than 800,000 people with mental illnesses, 234,000 people with substance or gambling addiction, and 140,000 people with developmental disabilities. Read the full story in the Times Union. Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper on the Hudson City School District's plan to sell the building that once housed the John Edwards Primary School on State Street in Hudson. The building was closed in 2018. Dan Simpson with CBRE Realty Albany has the property listed for just under $4 million. Simpson, along with CBRE sales associate Alexandria Rizzo, attended the Board of Education meeting January 21st, and both expressed enthusiasm about their involvement. Simpson said, and I quote, "JLE lends itself to a conversion use. It's a puzzle finding the right buyer to fit in. It needs money to make it work. About 5 acres come with the property, but unfortunately they're mostly slopes and wetlands. It's rare to find someone who says it's okay as is," end quote. Simpson estimated it would take anywhere from 1 to 2 years to sell the property, but noted it is a good time to be a seller. In a second, unrelated real estate transaction involves the district contributing land to the state for the Empire State Trail. The trail will run in front of Hudson Junior and Senior High Schools on Harry Howard Avenue. The State Department of Transportation has offered the district almost $27,000 for the strip of land. Although the state will assume responsibility for hazards and liabilities, the school district will have to shovel following a snowfall. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Zolan Cano Youngs and Jesse McKinley report in the New York Times that New Yorkers of all political beliefs may see slower entry through borders and airports because the president does not like a certain New York law. On February 5th, President Donald Trump's Department of Homeland Security temporarily barred New Yorkers from joining global entry and similar trusted traveler programs that allow quicker entry through borders and airport lines. The president does not like a New York law that allows undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses, and this action is retribution. Chad Wolf, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, said that New York State residents could no longer apply for the programs because of the so-called green light law. Richard Azzopardi, a senior advisor to Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, said, and I quote, "This is obviously political retaliation by the federal government, and we're going to review our legal options," end quote. Read more about this story in the New York Times. Sarah Tapton reports for Columbia Green Media that the new Greene County Jail in Coxsackie is costing taxpayers more, even if Greene County Administrator Sean Groden is putting the new charges in a different budget column. Because of the jail that is under construction, Greene County taxpayers now have to pay $12,360 annually to count birds on the property. Quinzer Environmental LLC of Selkirk will take the money out of the county to conduct a bird count, invasive species monitoring, and vegetation analysis at the new jail site. Catskill Republican Michael Bulick said, and I quote, "I can't believe we pay $135 per hour for a bird watcher," end quote. Groden said he would make it look like the new cost does not come from the jail project that some call unnecessary. He said, and I quote, "I will not be charging this to the jail capital project," end quote. Instead, anyone tracing where the county's spending goes will find it in the general fund. The size of the jail varied during the approval process, growing larger after legislators voted to approve the project. At the least, Greene County taxpayers are on the hook for a $39 million bond at 2.49% interest and another $8.1 million in county funds, plus the related projects that are in the general fund. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Steve Hughes reports for the Times Union that Emily Vincent filed a lawsuit February 5th against the town of Bern in southern Albany County after she was removed from the planning board last month without a required public hearing. Vincent was made an alternate on the planning board, a position she says doesn't exist. Vincent was replaced by someone who is not on the board and who previously, as a judge, was convicted of extortion and bribery. Thomas Spargo was made the board's chairperson after spending more than 2 years in prison in 2009. Bern supervisor Sean Lyons told the Times Union last month, and I quote, "We know he has paid his debt. He's doing all the things to expunge the record and clear his name. He's a really good fit for the planning board," end quote. Lyons would not comment about the lawsuit. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Joseph Spector reports for the Poughkeepsie Journal that New York's Department of Environmental Conservation said February 4th that 2019 was the safest year in recent history for hunting, with one death and 12 accidents. A shooter failing to properly identify a target on a deer drive led to the only death, and most of the accidents involved tree stands. A few accidents involved hunters not wearing hunter orange. DEC Commissioner Basil Sagel said in a statement, and I quote, "Nearly 550,000 New Yorkers and visitors enjoy the sport of hunting each year, and the declining number of hunting incidents confirms that today's generation of hunters are the most safety-conscious yet," end quote. The DEC said, and I quote, "All of these incidents could have been prevented if hunting safety rules had been followed," end quote. The DEC started taking statistics in the 1960s. In 1966, for instance, there were 166 accidents and 13 deaths. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts there's a 30% chance of snow showers Sunday. Cloudy skies are the forecast with a high of just 35 degrees. Sunday night, snow is also possible, maybe a half an inch, below around 29. Monday, rain and snow are both likely. Rain after 10 a.m. with cloudy skies, a high near 41. Less than a half an inch of snow is possible. Monday night, mostly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 28. Tuesday, again, there is a slight chance of snow showers in the morning, then turning to rain. It's 40% chance on Tuesday. The forecast high is 38. Tuesday night, the low is expected to be around 26. And again, there is a 30% chance of snow showers in the evening Tuesday. This has been the WGXC Weather.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On Sunday, February 9th, John Medeski and Billy Martin's Shack Party, featuring several sets of music to benefit Creative Music Studio, the legendary nonprofit foundation at the Beverly in Kingston at 5 p.m. The community music space, located at the Chocolate Factory in Red Hook, is an artistic educational center that provides a voice for music and acting in the Hudson Valley. Groups perform extensively in the community, from festivals to public venues and street fairs, as well as this annual showcase at Club Helsinki Hudson at 7 p.m. Legendary free jazz readist McPhee from Kingston and drummer Corsano from Ithaca perform at Tubby's in Kingston at 8 p.m. That's it for this week's WGXC Community Calendar. You can add your own event and hear it right here on the radio by visiting WGXC.org/calendar.
WGXE welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXE, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXE and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson. I'm Lena. I am a student from MC Smith, and I am also from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I am a student at Libri, and I have recently moved here from Manhattan.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love, books we hate, bookish things. I'm sorry, that was your line.
All that good stuff. So we're here to talk about some books today.
And books and books and books and books and books and books.
Who wants to start us off today? Whoa. Lena's taking out the mic with her excitement. Lena's going to start us off.
The book that I brought was called How to Make Yourself Cozy.
Yay.
A Guide for Practicing Self-Care by Katie Vaz. And I'm just going to read the back. It says, embrace the cozy pleasures of life with the Katie Vaz Interactive Guide to Self-Care. Freshly baked bread, cloud-like pillows, lavender tea. Make Yourself Cozy shows you how slow, cozy warmth can help you deal with anxieties and challenges of everyday life, filled with tips for creating the perfect atmosphere of coziness. This book encourages all of us to slow down and find joy in the little things.
It sounds interesting. What do you think of it so far? Have you begun reading it, or?
I have, and my sister has told me you can start at any page because, like,
it's like something you can. It's something you can start at any point. Basically, you can like open up to any page and find something that might help you in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, and like they tell us about like. For example, I'm just going to use one from the book. Take the edge off a rough day by unwinding in a warm bath or shower. Pay attention to the soothing feeling of warm water on your skin. Hmm. And like, there's one that I really, really liked where it's like how to make yourself cozy while reading. And this is what the show is about. Play some music. Get yourself in a cozy spot and then start reading. And also escape into your favorite book. Like, it could be anything.
It looks like a fun read. You could just, like, open it to a random page on a day and be like, how am I going to make myself cozy today?
Yeah.
And just get a random selection. How do you like to get cozy? What's your favorite method?
My favorite method is to turn on the TV, watch Hulu, and the show that I watch is Steven Universe. I'm binge watching it because I just finished it and I just like over here like, no, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. And then they do it anyways and I'm over here like crying like, why?
I actually watch Steven Universe a lot too. I actually have an art book about it. I have the show's like art book, which I think I brought in one time, which is, you know, weird to put on the radio because it's an art book and you'd think the main attraction would be the visual parts of it, but it's still cool to bring in. But I like, what do I do to make myself cozy? I can't remember the last time I was really comfortable. But I like to draw. Right now I'm illustrating my own tarot cards just to.
And drawing dragons?
And I do absolutely love to draw dragons still.
You could do a dragon tarot deck.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Yes, I could. I might need to do that.
Wait, what's a tarot deck?
It's a bunch of cards that tries to understand how to explain this. Basically, it's a kind of thing that you can use to predict future events or figure out what you want to do in your life, and there are all kinds of spreads you can use. They are split into two arcana, which is the major arcana, which is the Fool, Empress, Emperor, etc., etc., and then the Suits, which are the minor arcana, which is the Pentacles, the Wands, the Swords, and the Cups. And right now I'm learning about all their meanings while also drawing them to kind of motivate myself to sit down and actually learn about them, because I couldn't really bring myself to just sit down and read about all these cards one after another and then expect myself to remember them enough to actually do a spread for myself.
What if the dragon card is something like, for example, there's going to be some fire and flame in life, but then maybe it's going to get better or something like that, because, well, most dragons that I know breathe fire,
you know,
or
oh my
ice.
God. Hold on. Hold on. There's something in that sentence that I need to talk.
Oh, no.
You know, can you introduce me? But I basically, the point of illustrating a tarot card isn't really to make your own cards, but to illustrate the already existing cards to fit you. and you kind of use their meanings to figure out what you want to illustrate for them.
So AJ, is there something that you do to get cozy?
I either read or I bake, and after I bake, I eat. After
you could
I read,
bake while listening to an audiobook,
I read,
and then eat
then I
your
bake,
baked goods while you're
I
reading a
eat,
book.
Eat, then I read, then I bake, then I eat, then I read, then I
it's
bake.
A good life.
And that's my day.
I just remembered something that makes me cozy. One of the most important things in my day. Okay, so... the most important thing to do in my day to make me feel cozy is to eat while I'm watching Steven Universe.
Well, Steven Universe is one of those shows where, like, you know those shows where you the animation, the way they animate food actually makes you hungry? It's one of those shows. They do that a lot.
Yeah.
It's actually very cool. Anyways, AJ, do you have a book you wanted to talk about? Or a story you want to tell?
I have both, actually.
Okay. What's the book you want to talk about?
Let's see. Mind trying to choose one of the awesome books that I read at the library while seeing Emily. Oh, yeah, there's the one that I gave Emily. It's called Go With The Flow. Yes, you have it here. Yay.
I brought that with me. I also read that book this week.
It was very good. So right now I'm just going to read the back. Good friends help you go with the flow. Best friends help you start a revolution.
Yeah.
Sophomores Abby, Britt, Christine, and Sasha are fed up. Hazleton High is never has enough tampons or pads or adults who will listen. Sick of an administration that puts football before female health, the girls confront a world that struggles, or worse, squirms at the thought of administration revolution. They band together to make a change. It's no easy task, especially while grappling with everything from crushes to trigonometry to JV track, but they have one another's backs. That is, until one of the girls goes rogue, testing the limits of their friendship and pushing the friends to question the power of their own voices. Now they must learn to work together to raise another up. But how do you stand your ground by raising bloody hell?
Oh my gosh, can I see that book? Wait, is that a graphic novel?
Yes. Okay, so there are four girls, like they mentioned, Abby, Rick, and Steen, and Sasha. And my most favorite characters are, well, I haven't really gotten their names down yet. But there's a blonde girl with glasses, a black girl with braids, a white girl with red hair, and this Asian girl. And, well, I like all of them, really, but I like the, well, I'm just going to call them the glasses girl and the other. And the last girl I mentioned, Sasha, I finally got one name right, yay, which is the Asian girl. Fine,
that's
now
cool.
You can take it immediately.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. So I think they're going into their sophomore year. I can't remember if that said that in the description.
Yes, it did.
And three of them are, you know, friends that have been friends for some time. And then the other girl, I also do not remember who is who, their names.
I think that one's Sasha because she's the only one that wasn't like part of the group beforehand. Okay.
But one girl moves to town, so she's new to school. And on one of her first days in school, she has her period. And she gets some stains and people make fun of her.
They call her Bloody Mary.
Yeah. And then the other three who are friends pull her away because she hasn't known what was happening at first. They bring her into the bathroom and they help her out and help her work through this embarrassing moment and become friends through that experience. But when they're in the bathroom, they realize that the vending machine in the bathroom not only charges you to buy tampons and pads, but it also is empty. And so
put in money and then
one of them, who is an artist and a bit of an activist, wants to make that a change. She wants to talk with the administration and make sure that both the machines are filled regularly and that ideally they're free. But of course, there's some pushback from the administration because they're like, we don't have the money. It's a budgetary issue. She's like, well, why is the football team getting new costumes? Or not new costumes, new uniforms. Costumes.
If they were getting costumes, then maybe new
Halloween
they're going
costumes.
To go for play.
Yeah.
Like they're going to put a play as their playing. Yeah.
So it becomes a question of like, what are the school's priorities and how are women's basic products and needs treated versus like other things? Yeah. Like, why is toilet paper made free, but women's sanitary products are not? When it's a totally natural thing that happens to women.
Yeah.
And it talks about also how it's not just women that have periods. There's also trans men and gender non-conforming folks, too.
Huh.
So that's nice, too, that it includes that.
Cool.
It's a very good book.
I'm still reading bit and very, very, very slowly because it's bad and I don't like it, but I need to. I need to win this bet. I say this like I need to win this bet, but really there's no bet going on. It's more of just a testament to my integrity and my pride that I keep reading this book. But we have started writing more in creative writing. We've all gotten to the point where we've written our own microfictions instead of just finding ones to use as examples. So we're doing that.
Did you bring some that we can share?
Yes, I did.
And I think, weren't you saying, AJ, before the show, that your mom had come up with a 3-word story, I think it was?
Well, two-sentence.
Two-sentence.
But it was actually a 3-word story.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us that one while Amelia's pulling up her story?
It happened. Again.
It happened. ... Again.
That's seriously the way that she told it to me.
Okay.
So, this is a microfiction, which is basically defined by being under 500 or 1,000 words. The definitions vary, but I think our teacher used 1,000 words, but I'm pretty sure mine is under 500.
All right, so I'm going to read this. Does it have a title?
No.
Okay. We'll call it Cowboy Grandpa. Just kidding.
No!
That was an old show joke. Anyways, okay, so this is by Amelia Ortiz. I landed on this foreign planet in January. For the first few years, I would meticulously keep track of the time. I soon became too busy with my research to do that. I've had many experiences upon the strange world, most of which would terrify any sane person. The storms are especially ferocious, kicking up angry auburn clouds as far as one can see. I have also made countless groundbreaking discoveries. Within my first few years, I found ice here, and by extension, water. This may be of great importance to those I report to back on Earth. However, it is not of importance to me. I do not require hydration. Interesting. That was me, not the story. Yeah. The truth is that I am dying. I knew that I was destined to die here from the moment I landed. I have long since come to terms with that fact. I can only hope that those back home will not mourn the loss for too long. I have fulfilled my purpose. I just hope my battery lasts long enough for me to see one more sunset. Back on Earth, June 2018, major news websites all rush to report the news. The Mars rover dies, ending its 15-year mission. Ooh, that's pretty cool.
I have a poem.
You have
to
a poem?
Share, and I stole it off the internet because I have nothing original to share.
Today.
Today, just for today.
Yeah, because you have original things.
Yeah,
that
I have
you've shared before.
Yeah, I'm.
That was really cool, though, Amelia.
Thank you.
I liked it. I like how it's like each little moment. It's like, oh, what I was picturing just changed.
Yeah.
Oh wait, again, what I was picturing just changed again.
So the really agonizing thing about this is that we are not allowed to actually figure out who commented because we were peer editing today. So we all get red pens and we're all very proud of our red pens. But I haven't gotten to see the notes on mine yet because that's what we're doing tomorrow, even though I've edited other people's and I'm sitting here like wondering, like, what did they say about mine? We're not allowed to. Our teacher won't let us.
Okay, yeah. So I have it up. And the poem is from Doki Doki Literature Club, and it's made by Natsuki, like a character. And so the poem is called, "Eagles can fly, monkeys can climb, crickets can leap, horses can race, owls can seek, cheetahs can run, eagles can fly, people can try, but that's about it."
It's nice.
Yeah.
If you wanted to read another one of mine, this one could count as microfiction too, but technically I wrote this before we started working on microfiction. This is the one, I think I talked about this last time, where we had to choose a word off the board and use it as our inspiration, and this is what I did. You're going to see a sci-fi theme with my work for some reason, I'm not sure why.
So do I say what the inspiration is, or not?
Yeah, you can go ahead and say it.
Okay. So the inspiration is cat, which we all know, I love cats. We were scared at first. Aliens had finally come to Earth, and it wasn't in the form of cheap Photoshop or government conspiracies. Oh no, there was no conspiracy that could possibly hide this. Spaceships appeared over government buildings in every corner of the world. News stations reported on it for days as the ships just hovered in their places. Some people hid. Some people stayed with their families waiting for the end. Others took their fate into their own hands. Suicide rates skyrocketed in all nations during those long, fear-ridden days, until finally the extraterrestrials made contact. Cute is how they described us, absolutely adorable. They viewed us as one would view a cute animal. For eons, they had apparently watched us, wasting hours on us as we would waste hours on cat videos. It wasn't long until we found a way to exploit this. Interstellar trade began. Our main export was videos of us simply doing mundane things, playing with toys, caring for our children, even sleeping. The aliens ate it up. We shouldn't have been so optimistic. We should have proceeded with more caution. Their technology exceeded our own. It was the same story with their weaponry, although they would never dare use it against us. No, they had more humane ways of capturing us. How long did we expect them to be satisfied with just videos? How long did we expect this to go on before they decided to make us their pets?
We're the cats. We are pretty cute.
I love that you're absolutely distraught. We're the cats coming at the end of it.
Well, some of us are.
That was the horror quick write we did. So that was meant to be horror, but I found a way to make it sci-fi anyway.
Some of us are active, so we're the dogs, and then people who are non-active are cats, and I'm most likely going to be a cat because I'm definitely a cat.
However, I do like the idea that if I did not have the inspiration of cats for this piece, then I could make them pretty much any pet I wanted to. To which I must bring up the concept of what dog and cat shows would be like in this universe on their planet. Do we get groomed? Do they show us off? I don't know. But yeah.
Wait, does that mean we get to watch Hulu?
I mean, there are apps on iPads for cats where they have like the little fish swimming around. So maybe that's just their Hulu. I've come very close to downloading that for my cat, but she would not do anything with it. She would sit there, because she's lazy, and not do anything.
Oh.
I love my cat, though. I love her so much. I insult her so much. I feel bad. She's so good.
That's really great. I love short stories. I don't read them often enough, but I just listened to one the other day because our friend, Amelia and my friend, and someday your friend as well, AJ and Lena, but our friend Sam J. Miller, who we've talked about on the show before, who's one of our favorite authors, had a birthday recently. Happy birthday, Sam. So he had a birthday recently, and he said for his birthday, if people wanted to consider nominating him for his short story for a Nebula or Hugo Award for those of his friends that can nominate, which isn't me. He was like, here's the short story I wrote, and here's how you can read it. And I was like, well, I can't nominate him, but I could listen to his short story. And it was really good. I think it was called Shattered Hearts. And he writes speculative fiction primarily, and it was set, I forget when, back in the time when King Kong was out, because sort of the aftermath of a King Kong episode. It was really good. So I can't vote for him, but, you know, hope he gets nominated for some awards for that. It's a great short story.
Yeah, but a very, very, very short story. Well, I actually have two, and they're not really as much stories as sentences, but these are ones that my mom tells me when I'm, like, begging her for a story, but she's like, no, but I'll tell you just one short story. Here's the first one. Once upon a time, the end. And then there's another one. Do you know a short story about a boy named Lori? There, that's the beginning and end of that story. The end. Really short stories.
It isn't my favorite short story I've ever heard, but it's something, you know? It's not nothing. Does anyone have anything that they're either reading currently or looking forward to reading?
No.
I'm trying to think. I mean, at some point, I'm probably going to sit down and just blast my way through that Pokemon book I brought a couple days ago with the Pokemon biology. Yeah. Just because I'm a nerd, and that's the thing I want to do. I also really want to reread all my ology books, because my dad has said that I might get more out of them now than when I did when I was little and was just fascinated by the pictures. That would be cool to do if I ever had the willpower to sit down. I have, like, God, I have 10 of those, I think.
How about you, AJ? What are you looking forward to reading? If anything. It can be, if it's not a title, it can also be a type of book.
Maybe just books in general, because I have so many books to choose from, especially when I'm at the library. I'm like, look, there's a cool book over there. Maybe there's a book over there, over there, over there, over there. And even the walls look like books. It's just too much.
I remember when the Hudson Library was like, when we could go to it the first time, I remember, like, I was like, Mommy, are those walls made out of real books? No.
Because we have wallpaper that looks like books.
Yeah.
I've heard a ton of people actually ask that question if those are actually books up there, because it is very realistic and it's really nice.
I like it. We also have a new friend up there by that wallpaper. Next time you're in, you can check them out.
Ooh,
we have a Rapunzel.
Oh.
Oh.
We're getting ready for the summer reading program, even though it's quite far away.
Are 10-year-olds allowed in the summer reading program?
You can be any age.
Oh, I remember them being like, oh, it's only for tweens and teens last year.
Well, we have some programs that are geared towards certain ages, but
okay.
I feel like 10 is this nice age where you can be in the tween and teen programs, but you could also be in the kids programs.
Yeah, me over here like...
Lucky.
Barney over here, me over here like, Barney is a dinosaur.
I remember volunteering on for the summer reading program last year and it being the very, very little kids programs. That was fun. I also did a couple programs over there. Sam J. Miller ran one. It's his fault. That's why I'm so into sci-fi. It's because of him. Because that was what that program was, a sci-fi writing course.
Oh, yeah.
So I wrote a short story about this alien girl with skin like a poison dart frog. So she was very poisonous, but very, very colorful and so very sought after. Who was like basically kept in a display case the way one would keep an actual pet frog. And was just kind of put there in a rich person's house. And I never finished that story, but I did start writing a story that was like a collab with several boys who are much, much younger than me. Which was great. But, But I started collabing with them, and I wrote what is, oddly enough, probably the most outlandish story I've ever written, but probably my most favorite one, because I still write it, add to it sometimes when I'm bored in school, which is about two aliens from two warring planets crashing into a guy's truck, and to get them to help him pay back a new truck. He has them work at his, like, pizza place that he owns, and no one basically asks, because he owns this pizza place, so no one dares to ask why there are aliens working in the pizza place. And it was very outlandish, but it's fun to just not have to worry about logic for a little while and just kind of, like, write that for fun. It's so much fun to write.
Not as much fun as reading, though.
Okay.
Depends on who you are, and it might depend on the day, too. Because I know Amelia loves to read and to write. So.
I do very much.
For me, I'm like, read. Do other stuff. Read.
We're just about out of time for today, but we thank you all for listening and hope you all have a good week and read lots of good books. Do lots of bookish things. Maybe write some sci-fi about cats or other things. Whatever inspiration you find.
Why are you so obsessed with cats?
Because they're amazing. I'm like the aliens. But anyways, happy reading. Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.
I don't want to be funny anymore. I don't want to be funny. Lately, I've been feeling like the odd man out. I heard my friends saying things I don't mean out loud. I'll buy the clothes and I'll be the
Hi, my name is Maddie.
And I'm Serena.
Here's the Catskill News. How convenient is the new after-school dinner program?
Students that have games, practice, or club work don't have to go hungry.
It's initiatives like this that define our district.
Proactive and caring about our students.
Recognizing a need and doing something about it.
Proud to be a CAT.
Catskill Central School District has started a new dinner program that provides free balanced meals for all Catskill students ages 18 and under. All district students can stop by the Catskill Middle School cafeteria from 2:15 to 4 p.m. on any regularly scheduled full day of school and enjoy a healthy, delicious, and balanced dinner. No registration is required. Another example of Catskill working together to help our students.
We spend many hours planning and producing our Catskill News program. Sometimes we produce some fun videos as well. It is so great to come to broadcasting class to learn by doing the news.
On February 14th, we will run on a shortened rally schedule in order to accommodate the PBIS day called the Winter Carnival. It will consist of three activities starting at 1:10 p.m. and going to the end of the school day.
The morning of the Winter Carnival, we will have a quarterly honor roll breakfast during periods 1 and 2. It will be a great day for our students that do it right every day.
Our CMS is always looking to recognize and foster positive relationships in school. They recently developed Kindness Day to highlight how it is important to be kind to each other every day.
Recently, we celebrated Kindness Day in the middle school in the cafeteria by having some activities for the students to participate in. Kindness Day was born out of No Name Calling Week, which is celebrated the week of Martin Luther King's birthday. We are trying to promote more kindness in the middle school, being kind to each other, being kind to our teachers, being kind to ourselves. So we had a poster that students signed on with the question in the middle, what makes CMS a kind place? We had a photo booth area that was Be the Eye in Kind, where students stood in front of the backdrop and they were the eye. And we had some questionnaires and things like that, that students received pieces of candy if they participated in any of the activities. Just trying to promote the concept of being kind to each other and saying nice things about each other rather than tearing each other down.
Great stuff here at Catskill.
There'll be a benefit for Matt Sobota on Saturday, March 7th from 3 to 7 p.m. at the Catskill X Lodge. Tickets are $20. Matt Sobota is a Catskill graduate battling cancer. Please support this event for one of our own in need. Contact Ms. Borgen at the Catskill Elementary School for details.
Interested in redesigning or creating a garment for the annual fashion show? You can do just that at the Fashion Studio. All students are invited to the Fashion Studio in Ms. Marino's room on Thursdays from 2:30 to 3:30. No sewing experience needed. See Ms. Marino if you have any questions. How exciting.
Congratulations to Ms. Marino and her FCCLA students for another magnificent event this Tuesday. The Around the World Family Dinner was well organized and showcased our students' ability to prepare and serve dinner.
Our FCCLA has also started a new Pay It Forward program for the middle school. Students that have fruit or any untouched food items can place the item on a designated table with refrigerator or other students to share.
Hi, I'm Mia Gottesman.
And I'm Isabella Wood.
And we're from the Catskill FCCLA. We're starting a FCCLA share table for the STAR event for FCCLA. So when a student gets their school lunch, if there's something on the tray that they don't want to eat, like an apple, for example, they can take it and they can put it in the refrigerator on the share table for someone else to take and eat.
It was an idea in the elementary school, and we basically wanted to expand off of their idea.
And this program will help kids get food if they don't have enough or if they don't have money to buy extra, and it will stop the waste of food. So if you have food that you don't want that is packaged or untouched, you can put it on the table and it'll stop people wasting.
It's very important because some kids don't have enough food to eat, and there's also a lot of food wasted in the cafeterias, so this will help like reduce both of those problems.
You can take what you need from it during your lunch periods, but every day at the end of the day, we'll be there to check what's in it, make sure everything's good, and make sure it's stocked up for people the next day.
Yes, it is pretty much free food for people that need it. If you don't have enough food or you want something more, come here and take some.
Our FCCLA program is always looking to develop practical student-driven programs to benefit our students and community. Great job.
The New York State Court Office Training Exam is open for filling until February 26th. The starting salary is over $51,000. Applicants can self-schedule an appointment at a nearby test center. To receive a link for the application, text OFFICER to 77222 or visit their website.
Our guidance department produces a monthly scholarship listing and highlighting all the available scholarships for our seniors. The list is given out to seniors in English class and is also available in the high school guidance office.
The Catskill High School Guidance Office prepares a scholarship newsletter every month. So each month, we put together a list of available scholarships that we're aware of. Some of them are larger national scholarships. Many of them are small local scholarships that only Catskill or Greene County students can receive. This scholarship newsletter is provided to the English classes every month. It's also provided to the social studies classes. So if students are at New Visions or Questar taking their English over there, they have to make sure they stop in and get a copy of the scholarship newsletter. All right. Then, for example, if you come in and there's an Elks scholarship, you need to make sure you get the application and fill it in. All right. Because a lot of these scholarships that are in here now are going to go directly to our school students if they apply. And then the scholarships are handed out at the senior awards night in May. And it's a wonderful night. We have about 2 hours of people just handing out scholarships. And really, I'd say only about probably 25 to maybe 30% of our students even apply for these scholarships, and they're available for any one of our students. So I'd like to see 100% of our students apply for some type of scholarship. Along with that, we want to make sure students begin the financial aid process by filling out their FAFSA. That's F-S-A-S-A. That's the free application for federal student aid, and that is free. You go to the FAFSA website, fasfa.gov. Make sure you go to the government website. And then after that, you'll go to the higher education website, hesc.ny.gov, and fill out the TAP form. And that will give you your New York State financial aid. So you do those two steps first. The other thing that we do have the scholarship newsletter in-house. However, scholarships can come from everywhere. It's kind of like a spider web, and you're in the center. Your parents' unions might have scholarships. Things like baseball and softball can have scholarships, the Girl Scouts, different music programs. If your parents are in a union or if they're in an Elks Club or a Lions Club, there may be scholarships. So some of the things that you do outside in the community might also have scholarships that you can apply for. We want you to look everywhere for scholarships. Mrs. Duncan in the guidance department, come see us and we'll get you started.
All seniors should take a minute to review and see if there are potential money they could win to help offset the cost of college.
There are apprenticeship opportunities at Glasgow Smith Kline in East Durham. They're recruiting for 3 automation technician apprentices and 1 logistic coordinator apprentice to start August 1st, 2020. This apprenticeship program is a full-time paid apprenticeship in which the successful candidate will attend a college or university part-time and work at the GSK Oak Hill site and part-time. At the end of the program, the apprentice will obtain a full-time position with GSK Oak Hill. Please contact Kirsten Esterby if interested.
The CHS musical production of Pippin is well underway with preparation. They're preparing the playbill. Any club, person, or group can purchase an ad for the playbill. Please submit your ad or information to Miss Stores. All proceeds go right back into the drummer program. Ads are due by Friday, February 28th. Checks are payable to the Catskill Chorus Fund.
What's up, Catskill? It's Alana, back with your weather. I know I haven't done this in a while, but I've been doing, you know, a lot of things. Today's weather is 25 as the high and 3 as the low, and it is supposed to be sunny. Saturday will also be sunny with 29 as the high and 22 as the low. Sunday will be cloudy, and it will be 43 as the high and 25 as the low. The groundhog did not see his shadow. So spring is coming. So get ready and get your cute outfits out. Have fun. Peace.
Hi, I'm Matthew Rivenberg here with your weekly sports report. We only have two basketball games next week. Monday, our boys travel to Cohoes for a non-league matchup with games starting at 1 p.m. Our Lady Cats host Voorheesville with games starting at 5 p.m. If you're up to it, you could have a full day of Catskill hoops in preparation for their sectional runs. Hope to see you all at the games. This has been Matthew Rivenberg with the Catskill Sports Report. Go Cats!
Why did the banana go to the hospital?
Why?
He wasn't peeling good.
Thanks for watching Cats Can and Cats Will.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with This Month in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this month either in the near or distant past. On February 19, 1942, the internment of Japanese Americans began after Franklin Roosevelt issued an executive order. Over 110,000 people were forced into relocation camps in the Southwest. On February 22, 1732, George Washington was born in Westmoreland County, Virginia. He served as the commander of the Continental Army during the American Revolution and later became the first U.S. president. On February 24, 1867, the House of Representatives voted to impeach President Andrew Johnson. However, the effort to remove him from office failed in the Senate by just one vote. On February 26, 1848, the pamphlet, The Communist Manifesto, was published by two socialists, Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. It called for the abolition of all private property and a system in which workers would own all the means of production, factories, land, and machinery. On February 28, 1844, an explosion of one of the guns aboard the USS Princeton naval ship killed several top American officials and narrowly missed killing U.S. President John Tyler. On February 29, 1739, Anne Lee was born in Manchester, England. Known as Mother Anne, she emigrated with a handful of followers to the United States in 1774 and founded the religious group, the American Society of Shakers. You've been listening to This Month in History, a monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you'd like to hear included in This Month in History, email me, Rob Gellis, at info@wgxc.org.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Find out where the music takes Erin G. on the next Deep Threes when we hear her distinctive take on the human voice as an instrument.